Thank you for helping us make Budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm just very thankful for the platform that God has given me and the opportunity to be a quarterback for, you know, the Denver Broncos. What a great organization.
This administration's war on religion is what bothers me greatly.
All we're really seeing here right now is a very modest attempt from the Obama administration to put some controls on how some government money is spent when it flows to religious organizations.
When Massachusetts drives Catholic adoption services out of the state, there's something fundamentally violating religious liberty.
And when we worship, we're receiving things from him. It might seem like a kind of a selfishness or an arrogance to Rick Warren, but it's exactly how the Bible gives it to us. God is the giver, and we are on the receiving end of his gift.
Indiana truck drivers, rubbish, etc.
I am, if you've listened to this program, you may have gathered whenever we talk about marriage that I am an advocate of early marriage. People might say, well, why? Simple reason. I am the product of early marriage. My parents were barely out of their teens when they married, and guess what? In those days, that was not considered early marriage. They just called it marriage in those days. And I imagine if you stop and look at it, you don't have to go back one or two generations to find what we call today early marriage there. Why did it work then? And how in less than a generation have we all been convinced that marrying before 25 or maybe even 30 is too early? What about marrying in the teens? Go back a couple more generations? And they called that marriage, too. They didn't call it early marriage. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about teen pregnancy in a different way on this Wednesday with Frederica Matthews Green for the first few minutes of the program. Then Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary will join us to examine the worldview of Lady Gaga. Yes, not only does she not only have fame and fortune and hit songs and probably the paparazzi and the cameras following her every way. She does have a worldview, and we'll see what it is a little bit later in this hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Frederica Matthews Green is a popular speaker and author of 9 books, mother of 3 children, grandmother of 11 grandchildren, and she's also written a recent column for National Review Online titled, Let's Have More Teen Pregnancy. Frederica, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you.
You say that teen pregnancy is not the problem. You say, actually, it's not such a bad thing. It's unwed teen pregnancy that's the problem. What do you mean?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point. It's like you were saying a couple of minutes ago, we've come into this absurd situation where the average age of first marriage is 28, and that is so out of touch biologically with how human beings are made, the way God designed us. We were designed to have babies a lot earlier in life, and expecting people to wait, as you know, is impossible. So teen pregnancy is not the problem. We're designed to be pregnant. Even if you want to say not until 18, that's something that humans are designed to do. And the problem is unwed teen pregnancy. We should start thinking about enabling people to marry younger when it's more natural to their physical development instead of expecting them to wait for 15 years. It just doesn't happen.
How did we get in the course of barely a human generation, from marrying right out of your teens or even in your teens, not raising a single eyebrow or disapproval, to now, if that is done, people practically call child protective services on you.
That's true. I think there are two things going on. One is that there's a different world for those who are going to go to college and have a profession, and those who are not. And for those who are not on that education track, often they do begin having children very early, but they don't marry, and that's a whole separate problem. I think what has caused this delaying among those who are kind of have hopes of being in a profession, having a career, is that education has come so extenuated that it used to be that you would leave high school with a pretty good education, and you could get a good job. But then it came around where really everybody needs a BA, and now the bachelor's degree is so dumbed down that the master's is the equivalent of what a bachelor's was 20 years ago. So the dumbing down of education and the expectation that people will get a couple of graduate degrees, they don't feel they can get married until all that education is over with. And I think that's what's caused this great stretching out of the timeline. People used to mature at 14 or 15, you would be behaving like an adult, taking on adult-level chores. When your body was ready to work, you began working. And we've invented this teenage period and this extended adolescence. I don't think it's a good thing.
You say, and you just alluded to it, Frederica, that we no longer think of children as adults in training or adults in progress. Expand on that, if you would.
Yes, I think that who really wins from this extended adolescence is the people selling the various sorts of entertainment media and entertainment products, that there's a lot of money to be made from young people who are told that you shouldn't expect to be responsible yet for your life. You should expect your parents will go on paying your bills as long as you want to continue doing that. You should expect to be impulsive. You're young. You should expect to make mistakes, and then it doesn't matter. Everybody will forget your mistakes, and you keep on going. I think that there are interests in our economy that benefit from cultivating irresponsibility and immaturity. And I don't think that young people are that happy in it. I read a book a little bit ago called The Quarter Life Crisis, not a midlife, but the thing that happens at the age of 25 when you realize you've been coddled all your life to that point and you're not really ready to grow up and you don't know how to take that step into adulthood. I don't think that young people benefit from all this extended adolescence, but I think there's some very powerful economic interests and businesses that benefit a great deal from that.
How do you respond to those who say that statistically, at this point in time, younger marriage means statistically, a higher rate of divorce?
The actual rates are not that bad compared to if you look back in time, if you look back 25 or 30 years, young marriages were not more vulnerable than older marriages. It is not that young people are incapable of forming a lasting marriage at a young age, as you know from the example of your own parents. But it's that we keep telling them they're irresponsible, and if they marry young, their marriages will fail. It is a myth that we are propounding with this cultivation of immaturity and irresponsibility. So it is not that they will that they are inherently bound to divorce. That's just a story that they live up to if that's what the expectation is that's laid upon them.
And we have this problem while we delay marriage. We don't delay sex, do we?
Exactly. Exactly. It's an awful lot to ask. Very sincere young Christian people who want to go into a marriage pure. They're 15 when puberty begins, and at 30 they're still not married. That's a lot to ask, and it is fighting against God's design. I think we should recognize that God puts very, very strong desires in people when they're 15, 16, 17 years old. And, you know, if they don't marry till 18 or 19 or 20, you know, maybe they can make it those 5 years. But to expect them to wait for 15 years, it is in defiance of God's design for human reproduction. We pay the price for that.
So the apostle, to reference Paul, who had eschewed marriage for Christian celibacy himself, says to young men, look, it's better to marry than to burn. Not only great apostolic wisdom, but good basic wisdom in
good
that
basic
word.
Basic wisdom, yes. And we shouldn't be surprised because God is our creator. And the things that the scriptures tell us are going to be in tune with the creation, the way that we are made. It's not simply that this is spiritual advice. This is very down-to-earth advice. It is better to marry than to burn, than to be aflame with passion, St. Paul said. And I think there's wisdom there. And I think that if our ancestors could look at our day and see that we were expecting people to remain celibate for 15 years, they would be astonished. And there's so many factors that have gone into this attenuation of adolescence, backfiring very much on the people that are supposed to be living through it and supposedly having fun the whole time. I don't think they really have that much fun. I think it's pretty hard on them.
Is there an additional problem here? And that is, we delay marriage, but not sex. And then when in marriage, we are taught that it's responsible to delay childbearing. Mm. So eventually, if the trend continues, you're going to have people marrying in their mid-30s, not trying to bear children until 10 years later. And then you don't live to see your grandkids.
Yeah, no, well, if you see your kids, the body just starts diminishing its ability to sustain pregnancy as you get up into your upper 30s and lower 40s and past there. People who don't marry till they're 35 and then don't want to have a child till they're 40, a woman in that situation is going to find herself faced with a lot of hard decisions about fertility treatment. And we do see wonderful stories where fertility treatments were successful. Some very beautiful children resulted from that. But we don't see all the women who were disappointed because it didn't work for them. There's no guarantee that you will be able to conceive when you reach that point in your life. And I think a lot of women are very shocked to discover that medical science can't work magic here. And postponing children can end up, you might actually postpone it beyond the point of your body's ability to conceive and to sustain a pregnancy.
Frederica Matthews-Green is our guest. We'll be with her for a few more minutes on the other side of the break, a couple more questions for her. And then she's got an interesting story to tell us briefly about how she went from being pro-choice to being pro-life. We'll get that right after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Frederica Matthews-Green about teen pregnancy and early marriage, early childbearing. In about 5 minutes, we'll talk with Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary about the worldview of Lady Gaga. Before we let you go, Frederica, can you just briefly tell us your story of how you went from being pro-choice to being pro-life? About a minute and a half.
Sure thing. Yes, I was very vehemently pro-choice when I was in college. I was a very, very adamant feminist. And I thought that the being in the womb was just a glob of tissue. That was the phrase we used. Then I read an article in Esquire magazine where a doctor described going to see an abortion. And he described the abortionist injecting a solution into the woman's abdomen, and then as he left the syringe standing upright in her abdomen, the doctor wrote this, described how the syringe began to jerk back and forth. He said, like a sunfish nibbling a fishing line. And he realized it was the unborn baby fighting for his life against this poison that had just been injected into the uterus. So it was very shocking and disturbing to him and to me, because I was anti-war, anti-abortion, pro-abortion, but anti-war, anti-death penalty, vegetarian, all of that, anti-violence. And I realized that being in favor of abortion was a great big violation of everything else that I believed and stood for.
Frederica Matthews-Green is a popular speaker. She's author of 9 books. She's the mother of 3 children, grandmother of 11. And she's also written a recent column, I highly recommend it, for National Review Online. It's titled, Let's Have More Teen Pregnancy. We will post a link to this column and Frederica's blog at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Frederica, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.